first and foremost, on a Wednesday, get our weekly view from the middle as we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can find his work for USA Today in the red sports section online, usatoday.com. Today's piece on former Mississippi coach Hugh Freeze. Follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. He's our Wednesday leadoff man, ironically, on baseball's Hall of Fame Day. Welcome in, George Schroeder. George, how are you?
Man, I'm really good. Don't think I'm probably going to qualify for the Hall of Fame at any point in any Hall of Fame, but there we go.
Have you been retired 5 years? Don't sell yourself short.
I have not. I have not. So maybe there's a chance. You know, I don't think so.
Well, I'll be pushing for you on the Veterans Committee down the road, so you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm assuming you are on the Veterans Committee one way or the other.
Well done, well done. So I like to play level of engagement with some of our guests. We know your job is covering college football. You cover a lot of hoops. So for today, I'll mention a sporting event, and you tell me. You can even use a scale of 1 through 10, with 10 being all in to 1 not caring at all. So the conference championship games this past weekend, Patriots rally to beat the Jags, 8th AFC title of the Brady era. How well locked in were you to that?
Marginally locked in. How's that?
That's good. It's your answer. You're entitled as a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Okay.
So, not so much at all, huh?
No. I mean, look, it's just, I'm a big college football fan, as you know, and I'm not nearly as big a fan of the NFL, which routinely does not deliver great games. And that one turned out to be a really good one. Really frustrating one, unless you're a fan of the Patriots. But, you know, it routinely doesn't deliver. Obviously, we've had a couple of tremendous endings, no question, in the playoffs. But the NFL just doesn't get me going like college football does. And so it's hard for me to get excited. Also, I realize it's the playoffs, so it should mean more and it does mean more, and it should be maybe more exciting than the regular season. But for me, it comes right at the end of the college football season, and I'm sort of decompressing. And so that's my generic answer as to why I didn't pay as much attention as you think I would. I will be watching the Super Bowl, and it will be for more than the commercials, but the commercials will have a big attraction for me.
All right, how about this one? I heard a tidbit today that I don't think you have to be a diehard fan to understand or appreciate. So there are two guys in NFL history who have thrown for 75% completion percentage in back-to-back playoff games. One is Joe Montana. What's your reaction when I tell you now the other one is Nick Foles of the Eagles?
Well, a future Hall of Famer if ever was one right there, Nick Foles. You know, it's funny. I just talked to Mike Stoops, who was the Arizona coach when Nick was playing.
Right.
And, of course, you know, obviously Rob Gronkowski, their careers overlapped. But when Nick took over the starting job was the year that Gronkowski had the back injury. He didn't play for Arizona. Then he came out early for the draft, so they didn't really ever play together. But to complete that kind of percentage in back-to-back playoff games is amazing. But I also talked to one of his former teammates, Nick's former teammates, who was telling me that he's never seen a guy in his college football career, and this guy just finished 3 years as a GA at Arizona, who prepares the way Nick Foles did. And that encompasses a bunch of quarterbacks. And obviously the book on quarterbacks at the college level, and certainly at the pro level, is that they spend all their time in the film room preparing. But he said basically that he'd never seen a guy prepare as much as Nick did. And obviously you still have to have an arm that can get the ball where you want it. But sometimes accuracy is about understanding where people are going to be and where the defense is going to be too. So maybe that has something to do with it. That said, if Joe Montana is the only other guy that's done it, that's a pretty wild feat.
Yeah. Great tidbit. We talked with George Schroeder, USA Today, playing level of engagement, which I just made up. So this
you need to get a sponsor for that.
No,
probably.
We're working on
it. Just sell it out.
Pending, efforting. This June, 10 years since Tiger Woods won his last major. We know the story. He says he's healthy for the first time in forever. Tees it up tomorrow at his home course, Torrey Pines. What level of interest do you have in seeing the next turn in this little drama?
No, I don't care about him playing at Torrey Pines. Although I love the course, tremendous course. Got to play it, I don't know, a dozen years or so ago.
Oh, nice.
Just every bit of it is unbelievable. But I do have some interest when we finally get around to the majors, just to see. I mean, and obviously, I guess I have a little bit of interest because we want to see if he's going to be rounding into shape at that point.
Right.
But I'm among those, and this is all of us, basically 90% of the people, I think, who think he's never going to win another major. I mean, could he win one? Yeah, but he's just a guy out there now, right? So
yeah.
He's got as much chance as any other guy. It's not like, you know, it was at the one point when you thought, I'll take Tiger versus the field and feel pretty good about my chances. Now he's just part of the field, and he's not even one of the best, you know, not even close to one of the better guys in the field. So I'm gonna be interested, if he really is healthy, to see if he can elevate his game some. But I'm going to stick with the idea that his days of winning majors are over.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm going to be surprised if he makes a cut. On a day like today, whether it's college or Canton, now Cooperstown, there's talk about what to do with the Peds guys. So in about 5 minutes, they're going to announce the latest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. How much does that get your attention?
Well, I don't care anymore about PEDs. I'm over that at this point. I mean, it is what it is. It was what it was, however you want to say it. I'm mildly interested, I guess. It's always interesting to see who made it, who didn't make it, what that pretends. And for the guys who didn't make it, whether they were close, whether they ever got a shot, or whether it means, oh, wow, you're never getting in, unless Steve Tannen on the Veterans Committee puts you in 1 year. You know, so I'm mildly interested from that standpoint. But, you know, Baseball Hall of Fame is, you know, maybe the PEDs have sort of changed it, but it's always been the coolest.
Yeah.
To me, and I'm not even a big baseball fan. It's always been the one that has been the toughest, I think, to gain entry to, which is what they all should be. You know, as much as I love college football, the College Football Hall of Fame is, you know, now, again, there's so many more college football players.
Right.
But it feels like a, you know, bazillion people are in there. And the fact that it's such an exclusive club in baseball is a cool thing.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, just popped into my mind, it seems every year when they list the finalists for the College Football Hall of Fame, just due to magnitude, do you ever come across a guy and you're like, I can't believe he hasn't been in for the last 10 years?
Yeah, sometimes. And you know, they have a veterans committee that's routinely going back and plucking people out, and they do it more often than baseball. And obviously the ways they do this is different, and the voting process and everything else. That's exactly right. And what's funny, too, is there are guys who are not in the College Football Hall of Fame who went on to have tremendous pro careers, probably better pro careers than they did college careers. And you're like, wait, they're not in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Yep.
You go back and look, and their college career wasn't all that great. So I don't know. I mean, to me, Halls of Fame are overrated, but the Baseball Hall of Fame is easily the best.
I want to move to your home state. We continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. Was having a talk with a buddy of mine who for a few years worked in Ada, Oklahoma, south of Norman. And
thought we were going to be talking about Arkansas here.
Oh, well, I meant where you're living, not where you were born and raised.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I always tell people it gets worse. I'm from Arkansas. and I'm kidding. I love Arkansas, but that
good
seems
one.
To play well to the crowd.
Good one. Well played. So the discussion was this. If you had to guess, or if you have, you know, good insight, for sports fans in the Sooner State, be it Oklahoma football, Oklahoma basketball, Oklahoma State football, Oklahoma State basketball, where would the NBA franchise, the Thunder, rank, do you think, in fan popularity?
1 or 1A?
Really?
Yeah, and I don't think...
Ooh.
And the question is just which one it is. Oklahoma football is the thing that's sort of in the time, you know, tested thing, and it's not going anywhere. But the Thunder have taken the spot right next to them, maybe ahead of them come playoff time. When they're good, and they've obviously been pretty good here for most of the run in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And here's what's, I'm going to say two things. What makes it different is it's something that if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you're also a Thunder fan. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're, you know, there's no division like there is with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but among the bedlam rivals, as they call them. Everybody's a Thunder fan. So there's that. The second thing I would say is this. to say they're 1 or 1A, and I guess Oklahoma football would still be ahead of them, but to say they're 1 or 1A is one thing. But when the Thunder fall back to the pack, or Russell Westbrook ages out or moves on or whatever, and they end up becoming a small market Sacramento Kings, then they'll drop back to 2 or 3 or something, and Oklahoma football can go 4 and 8, and it's still relevant because of the passion invested.
I see.
And I think that's similar in a lot of ways to Oregon, in that Oregon football is relevant to a large portion of the state, even when the Ducks are bad, because of how much they've got invested. Now, it doesn't mean that they're happy. It just means that they're still, they're agitated, but they're still emotionally invested. Whereas the Blazers would ebb and flow.
I see. No, that's a great take. And you semi-settled our bet. Now I have to go back and pass this along. The headline story today, the sentencing of Larry Nassar, just, pure evil, a doctor at Michigan State. So beyond the specifics, yesterday, I think it was, NCAA President Mark Emmert kind of sidestepped any statement saying, I didn't have enough information. I mean, MSU is a pretty prominent university in the NCAA. What did you make of the stance the president of the NCAA took?
Well, I didn't think it was a very artful statement, but Mark Emmert's made a lot of inartful statements over the years. What I do think is interesting is that the NCAA has not only sent a letter of inquiry to Michigan State, but they've let everyone know that they've done that, which is contrary to how they typically operate. And listen, what this smacks of is the need to, capital D, capital S, do something. They feel the need to do something or be seen as doing something. Here's the thing. We all think it's an outrage because it is. It's outrageous. It's terrible. And it's very possible that Michigan State was, it certainly appears, complicit in not stopping it when enough people should have known or did know, right? I mean, it certainly appears that way.
Yes.
I don't know that the NCAA has any purview, period. That's two different pieces. One, Michigan State may well be complicit, or powerful people at Michigan State may well be complicit, and maybe there needs to be a complete house cleaning there. I don't know that that means the NCAA needs to be involved, in the same way the NCAA had no purview in the Penn State matter, quite frankly. And in fact, that actually potentially touched more in some ways on stuff, because it appeared that Penn State had acted to protect its football program, which is sort of the sacred cow of the athletic department. Whereas I'm not exactly sure what was going on with Michigan State. We need to get to the bottom of it, but I don't know if the NCAA needs to be the ones doing it. So that's my reaction. It's easy to say, oh, the NCAA needs to be doing to do that. But, to me, I always try to make this analogy. I used to do this with Penn State. It's a little bit like the Oregon High School. I don't know what the name of the Oregon High School Activities Association is. I've forgotten now.
OSAA.
Okay, there you go. It's a little bit like if some sort of sexual abuse scandal erupted at a local high school, Smith High School. And I hope there isn't a Smith High School.
I don't think so.
Just making one up, right? And the authorities are handling it, but someone screams, hey, because this touched athletes, then we need the OSAA to get involved. They have there's no purview there. That's my point. It's so far outside their own jurisdiction that I think do they need to do something or be seen as doing something? And to me, that's never a good impulse, but I think that's what's going on here. I think they'll overstep their bounds pretty dramatically if they continue to do something NCAA is. And again, that's not to say that something doesn't need to be done at Michigan State. I think it's pretty clear a lot of somethings need to be done. I just don't think it's the NCAA that needs to be doing it.
No, it's an interesting take. I agree. Final thought, you wrote about Hugh Freeze, the scandal at Mississippi involving phone calls to an escort service on a school phone cost him his job. So now he's kind of spoken for the first time, very apologetic. He said he was of the opinion it was a private issue. He did not discuss the violations at Ole Miss. But compared to some of the guys who just get adamant and they deny and they point fingers and they blame, what do you think about the fact of how he's dealing with this? It seems like he's apologizing and letting time pass.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, look, you know, who are we to judge a guy's motives? That seems to be probably what we all do anyway.
Yeah.
Or whether he's being genuine or not. Maybe we take him at his word. Maybe some people never will. Maybe some people want to see more time pass first. And I think all those reactions are probably in play, and maybe even they're all appropriate. But one of the keys to me, there are two pieces to this. One is he did not address the NCAA things in the talk. That wasn't the purpose of the talk.
Right.
It was more about sort of the personal misconduct. But I have not really gotten the sense that he's owned the mistake.
Okay.
And or rule breaking that was made at Ole Miss. And in fact, the sense that I get is more that, you know, since the NCAA didn't come down hard on him personally, they really didn't. He got a 2-game suspension as head coach if he's employed as a head coach in 18, which he's not going to be next season. It wouldn't apply if he were an assistant anywhere, and it doesn't apply beyond 18 in any way, shape, or form. So if he gets a head coaching job after next season, it won't apply at all. So he really didn't get much from the NCAA, but it feels like he's sort of taken that and used it as exoneration when the program is going to go 2 years with a bowl ban, which is really significant.
That's
in
big.
The world of the NCAA. And so I haven't seen him own that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I guess I sort of alluded to it. I think time will tell. I don't have any reason to disbelieve him that he's, you know, it's clear that he and his wife are together. You know, she was with him today. I don't have any reason to believe that she hasn't forgiven him. They haven't reconciled. He hasn't made that as right as you can after he had, you know, I guess as he put it, dishonored her with sexual misconduct. You know, I don't have any reason to disbelieve any of that. I just sometimes I wonder if maybe it's better just to let more time pass before before you come out and talk about it. And it's not up to me. He has different people, wiser people, I guess, counseling him than it would be for me. But I kind of wonder about that. The one thing I will say is this, and I think this is a legitimate point on his behalf. He says that stuff all happened, you know, and had stopped in 2016, talking about the personal misconduct, and that he had confided or confessed to a couple of guys that he had sort of kind of a small group with that were not members of the Ole Miss Athletic Department, guys from his church that were like accountability partners, and that he had confessed to them and then to his wife then, and
right.
had been working on it since then. And so his point is he had gone beyond that and was already reconciled and forgiven and all these kinds of things. And then it came out publicly. And so it was new to us in July of last year.
Right.
But it had already been dealt with from his standpoint. In assuming that's the case, I think that's a legitimate point to make. If you're talking about sort of, if you're quibbling like I am about the timeline of when you start talking about it. Does that make sense, or
No. I think it does make sense, and I often, if I were an advisor to some of these guys who were in hot water, I would always tell them never underestimate the value of just time and letting
time
it pass.
Time and silence, and
yeah.
then bring it up at the right time. And look, maybe this was the right time. I don't know. Look with Hugh Freeze, time is going to tell on who he is and how he's responded and how he's moved forward, and I just think that's true. So, you know, we'll see. I thought what he said today was good. If he means it, that's even better. And I'm not saying he doesn't mean it. I'm just saying we'll have to wait and see.
All right, folks, great takes as always. He's George Schroeder online, usatoday.com, on Twitter, the handle at George Schroeder. Enjoy your week. Look forward to catching up on what will be the last day of January a week from today. Thanks a lot, George.
Hey, thank you.
All right, take it easy.